You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin Wakes Up here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Happy Friday. It is 8:06 right now. We hope that your day is off to a great start. A little bit cooler today than what we have seen the last couple of days. A little bit of a warm-up towards the end of the weekend, but my oh my, the sun is certainly bright and shining in this part of Wisconsin, so hopefully it is where you're at as well. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. It should be a nice weekend if you want to go out to a No Kings protest tomorrow. I don't know if you guys are. I will be at one tomorrow. I had some signs made for the first one.
Okay.
And they focused more on immigration. So I have to, I'm going to have to try to be creative tonight to come up with a sign. I need a sign that is going to humorously get my message across.
That's one of my favorite parts about these No Kings protests is people in this country are crazy, crazy creative and come up with some amazing stuff.
I always think, you know, we all like to think we're creative, and I think I am, but then I am like you. I go, there's a lot of really creative, funny people, and, you know, they're pithy on their signs.
I love it. I love it. You know, we've got to have a little humor where we can find it in this current state of time. So if you have one of those signs, I'm all
about
them.
Well, and it also gets people to notice them a little more.
Yeah.
If you just have, F Trump on a sign, that's falling on deaf ears. But if all of a sudden people go, what?
Yeah.
Okay. And Wu-Tang is for the children. That was my favorite from the very first very first one. I'm like, how'd Wu-Tang get pulled into this? But I'm glad they did.
I always like it when Wu-Tang gets pulled in.
Sure. Bring Wu-Tang in. It is time, Parker, because yes, there are marches tomorrow, but there is some other you need to know.
It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
I can't believe they're playing that kind of obscenity on this network.
Oh, come on. We're all thinking it.
Yeah, exactly. So, and isn't that what people who voted for the administration, he says what people are thinking.
That's right.
Well, so do we.
So are we.
We just, Brendan Carr's FCC is watching, so we can't really say it. Anyway, here we are. Some stuff you need to know. The Senate early this morning approved Homeland Security funds to pay Transportation Security Administration agents. That's the TSA for the less wordy amongst us and most other agencies. But it did not fund the immigration enforcement operations at the heart of this budget impasse that has jammed airports, disrupted travel, and imposed financial hardship on workers. Hopefully, it starts trickling down quickly, and a lot of those TSA agents who have been calling in sick come back today because it's payday if you are a TSA agent. The deal, which was approved by the Senate unanimously without a roll call, now goes to the House. Mike Johnson better not slow walk it. It's expected to be considered today because if not, hey, guess what? They go on vacation for 2 weeks. Senate Majority Leader John Thune said, we can at least get a lot of the government opened up again, and then we'll go from there. Obviously, we still have some work ahead of us. The deal did not include some of the constraints, or any of the constraints, really, that the Democrats have demanded as they sought to rein in Trump's mass deportation agenda. And Chuck Schumer said that the outcome could have been reached weeks ago and vowed that his party would continue fighting to secure Trump's rogue immigration operation and that does not get more funding without serious reform. So I agree with Chuck that it could have been handled a while ago. This takes some ammunition out of the administration.
Yes.
They can no longer blame the Democrats because this was unanimously voted on in the Senate. And, of course, we can't forget that the president was the one who has turned down, and the Republicans turned down 7 different bills from the Democrats. So let's not throw too many roses, but if you are a TSA agent or in FEMA or with the Coast Guard, you're getting your paychecks. So
yes,
I'm happy for you.
It's all good news on that front. Closer to home, since Scott Walker signed Act 10 in 2011, union membership in Wisconsin has dropped sharply, more than almost any other state. That, at least according to a new report from Center for Economic Policy and Research. Wisconsin went from having over 22% of workers in unions to now being at or below the national average, with less than 5% of private workers and under 20% of public workers unionized. Act 10 limited what public sector unions could negotiate, mostly just pay, leading to many unions shrinking or disappearing altogether. Now, experts say that this decline means workers have less voice on wages, benefits, and working conditions, which can impact workplaces and communities across the state.
And the Brewers are off today because Parker, I don't want to get you triggered. I don't want to throw you off, but this is how it works the second
but
day
Brian,
of the season.
They play indoors. They don't need the day off.
I know.
Brian.
I know, Parker,
some of the teams they play, though, play outdoors.
But they're playing indoors today. No, they're not playing today.
They're not playing today.
Are you okay?
See what you did to me, Brian?
Look at him. He's having his own internal dialogue over there.
Wow, what are you channeling me? Hearing voices? Don't shake those off. That's a bad precedent to set for yourself. Well, the other day we talked to Marty Ronsky, the COO mm-hmm. of the Brewers, and we asked the million-dollar question, as she described it, how could people watch the Brewers this season? Well, the question was answered moments before the first pitch yesterday. They gave a rundown of channels on cable and satellite for game broadcasts. The club said channels include 1263 on Xfinity. That's one of my favorites. 670 on DirecTV, also a good one. And 1743 on UVerse. 469 Spectrum has all kinds of channel variations on there, depending on your local system. The broadcasts are also listed as available on streaming service Fubo. I've never heard of Fubo.
We've tried the free trial with Fubo. So anyway, go ahead.
How is Fubo?
It's like getting your local channels. I have a whole problem with streaming networks, so get through the story.
All right,
let's finish this,
and then we'll get back to it. But here's the easiest way. Go to brewers.com/watch. You'll get a full list of everywhere you can watch it. You can always download or get the Brewers streaming service, which was $100 for the season. You get all the games and all that other stuff, but you can still watch it on your however you get your TV. You can still watch it on TV. So good news for Brewers fans. Bad news for Parker, because today he has to just watch, I don't know, what are you going to watch? Slap fighting?
Ooh.
ESPN The Ocho?
Slap fight. That's a good idea.
Okay.
Slap fighting is cool. Have you ever watched slap fighting?
Oh, I watch slap fighting, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
Slap fighting's all right.
Yeah. But we know what Parker will be doing the rest of the weekend.
You want to start an inner show league?
Well, you know, that's why I'm growing out the beard, to give me a little cushion for when we
you better,
slap fight.
You better hope that beard is made of titanium. Because I bring the heat.
I know you do.
Big Shaq has game, if you know.
Okay.
All right, what's your beef with streaming services, except that we all have to have a million of
we
them?
We do. That's my beef with them, because these were supposed to be essentially a way of bringing the cable bill down, right? And now
sure.
you have, right, they were. And so now we have all of these streaming services, like your FUBUs, like your YouTube TV, and I'm sure there's tons of them off the top of my head that I'm forgetting off the top of my head.
We have Hulu Plus
yes.
with live TV.
Yes.
But then we also have to have Disney
yes.
Plus. We have Netflix. We have Paramount Plus. We've got Peacock.
So in the scheme of things, how much more are you paying than you were when you had cable? Because that's
I
my
think
problem.
We're still I think we're actually still paying a little bit less.
Okay.
Not a ton less. It's not like, ooh, we can buy a car, but it's like, oh, I can buy a cup of coffee from you know, it's a little bit of difference. But it's insane, and everything you have to get a different streaming service.
Yes,
it's like even for a show that's on, you know, everybody's after my money.
The only thing that I really love about the streaming services is the fact that when I sign up and then I cancel, that you don't get those residual bills, right? Like you do with cable for, you know, because 2 months later, you're still like, well, I still owe $12? How could this possibly be, right? So at least when you cancel, you're just done and you get to use the service until the end of that billing period, and then you're just done and you don't get billed again. That is the good part about them. At some point, I feel like it's going to have to be like cable, and we're already starting to see it just a little bit, but I feel like they're going to have to bundle at some point like cable does. And you already see Disney do that with Hulu and ESPN.
That's what Hulu does, because that's how we HBO Max and
Showtime
and stuff. But we were with DirecTV, and I'll throw them under the bus a little bit. We were at DirecTV for years, probably 20 years we were at DirecTV, and it kept going up, 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 up. And I have, stay with me, I have a big problem with the biblical story of the prodigal son. I think the prodigal son is one of the most horrible stories in the Bible and in general. It sets a horrible lesson for people.
Yes.
And that's how I always felt dealing with DirecTV. Because they would announce all the greatest deals for people who have never subscribed. And I'm like, hey, we've subscribed for 20 years.
We've been here for years.
What about us? Yeah. No, that's not for you. Why? Well, because you're a loyal customer. So why would we give you a deal? No, that's not how this should work. You should, if you're offering better deals, mm-hmm. you should give them to everyone, not just people who you're trying to lure away.
Right.
I understand you trying to lure people away, but how about retention? Because then it finally was, and part of the reason we didn't change sooner was sloth. If I could throw out another biblical term, but yeah, this Friday show, betting and the Bible. That's what we talk about here on the show.
We've covered every end of the spectrum. If that's how it worked out today,
we go 180. Here we go. But it always bothered me, and now I do like the fact that, like you said, Jamie, when you're done with the streaming service, you just go nope.
Or if you just want to watch one thing on it and go through a series or something, and you know that it's brand new, you can sign up for just a month or two, and then you can just be done with it. So there are those
1 week free trial.
Right, there are those perks to it. I understand that, but it really is maddening because at the end of the day, you look at your bill and you're like, I'm actually not really saving as much as I thought I was going to. Now, I will tell you that we don't subscribe to any of the streaming services that have the live channels because we have an antenna, we do. We have an antenna.
All right.
And we love our antenna.
Analog.
It's great. It's a digital antenna. So we love our digital antenna. It's fantastic. We don't have really any issues with it. We had DirecTV at one point in time. And let me tell you, when we had it when we lived in the Twin Cities, and we were going to transfer our service to our house outside of Baraboo when we moved there. Now, we lived on a lake, 100-foot pine trees all around us. And so my husband calls DirecTV, and he's like, you know, we've got a clearing over the house. You know, if a technician comes out, we can probably put it at the end of the driveway, the dish that is, maybe on the house. And they went into their little map that they have there, you know, and they looked at the house, and they're like, oh, no, you just leave the dish and we'll just pick it up. They wouldn't even like try. They were like, there's no way we're getting through the pine trees. We know that the service is going to be horrible. And they wouldn't even try. So they're like, just leave the dishes and we'll pick them up.
Did you buy your house from Ted Kaczynski?
No, we bought it from a very lovely couple. It was a for sale by owner home, and it was their dream home that they built. But they refused to get rid of any of the trees that were around this particular home because that was what they loved about the land. And it was literally hundreds of foot of pine trees. Yeah, I'm seeing this text from Roger.
Roger, yeah. Says his dad cut DirecTV 6 years ago, switched to over the air, saved $1,500 in the first year.
Yeah, that seems about right.
It doesn't surprise me.
When you look at the month by month,
that's one of those
billing.
Things. And they know they got you. See,
yes.
And it's not just DirecTV; it's Xfinity.
Oh,
it's anybody.
All of them.
It's anybody.
It's all of them.
You know, they're all the same. They're all just out for themselves. They don't care about your viewing habits.
No.
But they know they got you. What am I going to go without TV? I didn't have a TV in my hotel room last weekend. I went about crazy. I'm like. But you're supposed to unplug and unwind.
I have to talk to you? Is that what you say to Debbie? That's what Corey always says to me. Now we have to, like, talk or something.
No, that's what phones are for, Jamie. All right. Listen, when we come back, there's more. About bipartisan bill?
Ooh, to actually help people. It's weird.
Yeah, this doesn't sound right. I don't trust it.
No.
But this is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson. It's 8:19. This is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Fairly solid, better than expected. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
It's 8:22 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Civic Media Network. We hope that your day is off to a great start. I mean, it's Friday, right? And we're few hours now from the weekend, unless, you know, you're like our winner of the Brewers tickets earlier. And, you know, he's just off today. He's getting a jump start on the weekend.
That was a nice deal.
It was.
Good for him.
It was.
Good for Joe. He puts in his hours Monday through Thursday, and they have flex hours, and then he gets Friday off.
That.
That's the way to go.
Yeah.
That is the way to do it. this is always nice when we can say, hey, there's a bipartisan agreement among senators, and this is a disparate group of senators. Jean Shaheen, Raphael Warnock, Susan Collins. I didn't think she was able to make a decision on anything. But and then John Kennedy. They introduced a bill to cap insulin costs at $35 per month for people with private insurance. And this is a huge, huge deal because if you or somebody you know is diabetic and they rely on insulin, the cost of that can be unbelievably prohibitive if you don't have insurance. So this bill would apply to Obamacare marketplace plans and employer-based insurance, require insurers to waive deductibles for insulin, limit what patients pay to $35 or 25% of the drug's price, whichever is lower, and create a pilot program to help uninsured people get insulin at the same capped price. And my wife is diabetic, and one of my closest friends are diabetic. And for my wife, we have good, really good insurance. So once we meet our deductible, that's great. My buddy was between jobs, and his insulin was so much that he was like trying to find people who had some extra that they could float him until his new job's insurance kicked in because it was no one should have to make that decision on a drug that you they
you
have
to
stay
have.
Alive.
Yeah, you
they
have to
have that insulin.
You have to. Right now, only Medicare patients actually have a nationwide $35 cap. That's the biggest change here. That was from the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act. Thank you, President Biden, by the way. While people with private insurance can still pay much more, sometimes $60+ a month on average. And that's, again, if you're insured. The goal is to make insulin more affordable for the roughly 40 million people with diabetes, many of whom rely on the drug, as we just said, to essentially survive. Yeah. Lawmakers say this bill would close that gap between Medicare and private insurance coverage and make pricing more consistent across the country. Experts are warning that insurance companies could raise costs on other medications to make up for the capped insulin prices. I mean, here's the thing about insulin, too. Why is this such a debate? This shouldn't be a debate. There are 40 million people, as I just said, who rely on insulin to regulate their diabetes and to help them stay alive. And yet this has to be a debate about, well, should we make it affordable? What? Just do something. Go do something. I don't know why this has to be a constant conversation among our legislators about, I imagine them sitting in a room. Oh, we've got all these people, millions of people who need this help. Should we actually do something about that?
Nope.
What? Yes, go
it's
do
our
something.
It's their own fault they got bad pancreases.
What are we doing? This doesn't even seem at this. Sometimes it just seems illogical and silly, right? Like it just seems illogical and silly that you would even have to have people sit around in a room to have that conversation, and that this bipartisan bill hasn't been proposed much sooner than this.
Well, we could look back and complain that it hasn't been done in the past, which is legit, but we can also look at it now and go, all right, let's see. Now this. You know the insurance lobbies are going to be working against this. You know Big Pharma is going to be working against this. So it's going to – and, boy, I don't like thinking this way, but I do, and that's the way it is. It's going to get to a point where if it does pass, it's going to have to go to the president's desk. And I don't see him
– caring?
Being swayed – well, he doesn't care about the American people. He's shown that, basically, every decision he makes. But the fact that you've got these big money lobbyists, and we know the grift is strong with this one. I don't see it going anywhere, even though this is something that if it were vetoed, it should be overridden immediately.
Absolutely.
You can't you've already been messing with people's health care because you couldn't stand the fact that President Obama came up with a plan that was not perfect in any way, shape, or form, but it was working. And it did get a lot more people insured than were insured before. And people, people didn't even know it was Obamacare because it was the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
And we saw that with people who were supporters of Donald Trump go, well, as long I'll get rid of Obamacare as long as I keep my Affordable right. Care Act insurance. Ooh, it's not going to work that way, Cletus.
No. That was the one thing that I think was so troubling to me is that most people didn't even know they were talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Like, they literally had no idea that if you had Obamacare, that was the Affordable Care Plan and vice versa. I mean, people didn't even realize they were the same thing. Now, to be fair to this bipartisan bill, there was one that was brought in 2023, but that failed to pass at that point in time.
Well,
now, with this
shocking.
Particular bill, lawmakers may try to attach it to a larger must-pass bill to improve its chances because, again, they don't think it will actually make it through as a standalone bill, which also says a lot about where we are as a country. But in case you're wondering, there is no true generic version of insulin. That's why the costs of it remain so expensive. And there are some states that have taken action. About 29 have capped insulin costs between $25 and $100 per month, but this bill would create that nationwide standard, which again, I feel like is long overdue. So I'm all for this. I hope that they can pass it through a bigger bill, try to get it through as a standalone. I just hope that somebody can actually do something with this to relieve the cost for, you know, like your wife, your friend. I mean,
yeah,
that's who we're talking
everybody.
About. Yeah.
A lot of diabetics out there. When we come back, we are going to talk to Emily Cephos. She is a candidate for Wisconsin State Senate, but she's doing something more important than running for office. We'll get to that and so much more when we come back, Jamie.
It's 8:29 right now. You are listening to Daybreak. This is the Civic Media Network.
Local voices, statewide impact. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Civic Media Network. It is 8:35 right now. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. And after 42 days, it appears there's some good news for TSA agents and air travelers. As the Senate has agreed to fund a majority of DHS. That funding comes just as TSA agents were due another paycheck. Unfortunately, for the people who've been working without pay, the effects of this crisis are going to linger. TSA agents at the Appleton International Airport and across the country have been trying to scrape by, many turning to food banks to feed their families. Emily Cephos is the chair of the Democratic Party of Outagamie County and a candidate for 19th Senate District here in Wisconsin. And she launched a campaign to help the TSA agents at Appleton International Airport. Emily joins us now to talk about that and more. Emily, thanks for being here this morning. We appreciate your time.
Yeah,
so this is not the first campaign of this type you started. You did one during the last government shutdown. So what was it about this crisis in particular that motivated you to start this campaign?
You know, honestly, I saw that ATW Appleton Airport put a post up on Facebook. And, you know, it's something that I think we look at these government shutdowns and we're, you know, in the fall, it was certainly the SNAP beneficiaries were top of mind. But looking at that, I was like, they're right here. These are our neighbors. They didn't ask for this. And they're suddenly put in this terrible situation. So we thought, what can we do right now? And, you know, this community has always showed up. And so we tried to do it again.
What does that say, Emily, do you think about Wisconsin communities who step up when our government, either at the state level or at the federal level, falls short and really in some cases lets us down and disappoints us?
Yeah, I think it says everything that you need to know about Wisconsinites. Like we take care of each other at the end of the day. When you see somebody, you know, I certainly grown up in Slinger in the southeast, my parents taught me, like, if you see something wrong or you see someone hurting, you roll up your sleeves and get in there and do something about it. And that's, I think, kind of our, we don't expect anyone to come and like save the day. So we're going to pick it up ourselves. And that's what we see every time we ask for our community to show up in this way. And it's really incredible.
Well, that goes to how quickly this campaign had to come together. How is it done so far?
We are currently, I just checked the GoFundMe, and we're at $8,388, which is incredible because we just kind of announced it on Monday and it's been four days so far. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Mm-hmm.
So what are you hearing directly from people on the ground? Have you talked to any TSA workers about the shutdown and how this has been affecting their daily lives?
I've talked to a couple, and then I've talked to a couple like family members, spouses. And I think that what is special and unique about Appleton International is it seems like administratively they've really got their backs and they're really trying to like help them out, help carry them through this. The, you know, we're coming upon with spring break and everything, one of the busiest travel seasons across the country, but certainly in Appleton, which is a much smaller airport, you could really, you know, if a couple people called out, you're kind of stuck because we don't have a lot to draw from. And they've been showing up like really consistently getting people through those lines and things like that. And I think part of it is because of that, you know, that support that they're experiencing from the airport itself.
When you hear the administration talking about, you know, if the airports aren't doing well and TSA is going, we may have to shut down some local airports. And one of the airports listed as a possible one being shut down was Appleton. What would that do to the community and to the Fox Valley if that airport were to be shut down?
I mean, it would be awful. Appleton International has been built up. We are getting more gates. I certainly don't have all the details on that, sure. But I think economic impact in the Fox Valley area is huge. I know that there are a lot of business owners and folks that travel for work that fly out of Appleton, get those connections down to O'Hare and things like that to go to Chicago. And it would be, I mean, they would be what, up a creek? They'd be having to, you know, be virtual. Like, I mean, the ins and the outs of the people moving through that airport, it's really like critical infrastructure that exists here. So like, and I think that at the end of the day, deciding that huge swaths of population don't, you know, like, you can be cut off from your airport. Yeah. Like that's, what kind of decision making is that? Like, and how do you determine who falls where besides like strictly numbers without looking at the human side of it? And I think that's kind of what I'm seeing across the board, where it's all numbers. We're not looking at the human impact.
We're talking with Emily Sefos this morning. She is running for Wisconsin State Senate District 19. She's a community organizer. She's been raising funds for some of these TSA workers who have not been receiving a paycheck, which kind of leads to the deal that the Senate made in the very early morning hours, overnight, whatever we want to call it. Now, they do have plans to fund TSA. There's still a few more hurdles. But these workers have already missed paychecks. And how much does that financial hit still matter for families here in Wisconsin, and how much is still going to be needed even if there is a deal reached?
I mean, bills don't stop coming, do they? Like, right. When we're talking about this kind of stuff, like they're not holding up on car payments and mortgage payments and rent and things like that, or groceries and gas, and prices continue to rise for those things as well. I think that, you know, on top of it, these folks specifically experienced a lag of a couple months in the fall with the government shutdown. So like I can't imagine the stress, because people don't have wiggle room with their finances. And so to be out over a month and then have it like, oh, we're going to pay you now, but we know that that's going to take another couple of weeks to come through. Well, what the heck are they supposed to do? I just don't understand it. And I feel like awful for them, and that constant stress, like who would want to do that?
So even with this news, are you going to keep the campaign going? And if so, how can people get involved? How can somebody donate, help some people out?
Sure. There are things popping up everywhere. So if you're listening from other places, certainly like look into what your own local airport is doing. This will be open for at least another week because these are lagging, but we are going to start drawing funds so that we can be delivering those gift cards that we wanted to deliver to them. And I think that I would just encourage folks to look into your local stuff. I've got my GoFundMe link on all of my social stuff. But contacting your regional airport is a great idea wherever you are.
To kind of zoom out of this just a little bit, because I know you've been involved in the political realm for a long time in your area. What role should our state leaders really be playing right now when these federal decisions start affecting our local workers, or when we start talking about local closures like we were potentially for Appleton or even Dane County's airport?
I mean, in my mind, I'm at the end of the day a private citizen, like, because I don't hold elected office. But I think that what I'm, you know, looking for and what I'd hope our leaders would be doing is seeing a problem and then using the platform and the pulpit that they have to, you know, call on people to do the right thing. And that is putting pressure on those that need to be, but also like alleviating that crisis that exists for their constituents. I haven't, you know, I've sort of been a little disappointed in the fact that we haven't seen more of this. This is a pretty low stakes effort, you know, and people want for it. So I think that there's certainly, you know, we're told not to politicize things, but I think there's a difference between showing up in a moment of need and calling for accountability. And I think we need to do both. Like, I think that we need to not just point fingers and malign somebody else. I think we need to say, here, from my point of view, here's what's happening. But regardless of if you agree with me or not, this problem exists. These people are being unpaid. They can't make their rent or whatever. We're gonna show up for them. And I would love to see more of that, you know, because I think like what we need to acknowledge and remember is that community service is not a replacement for good governance. Right. Like at the end of the day.
Well, you're a private citizen now, but you're trying to change that a little bit. And people can go to emilyfordwi.com and find out all about it. But it sounded like you were laying out part of your platform. What spurred you to decide after years of being with the party in Outagamie County to finally run for office?
I think it's knowing that people deserve better. When you're active in a political sense, like at a local grassroots level, like you hear stories, right? And I think that knowing that there are so many issues and so many stress points that people are just like living with and dealing with and thinking they're alone. And I'm like, those are policy decisions that were made along the way that are impacting your life for the worse. And I believe in good governance and I believe in helping people, you know, as many people as we can help. We need to bring them along in that way. And I'm just like not seeing it. I'm tired of people resting on their laurels if, you know, this is a Republican district. And I think like just to show up and be like, I'm here and I'm going to win because I've got an R. Like I want to challenge that kind of allegiance to any party to say, let's question if this is really helping and how we can be better and like have those hard conversations. Cause I think that if we just sit by and let things go on as they are, it's only going to worsen. We all have a responsibility in our local communities to do what we can. And this is the way that I'm choosing to step in this moment.
We're talking with Emily Seffo. She is a candidate running for Wisconsin State Senate District 19. She's also a community organizer. And one of the things, I'm combining things this morning, you've been very outspoken about accountability from this federal government, especially about things like ICE. Why is that piece of the debate as we go forward so important to you and the voters of your district?
I think that at the end of the day, I think human dignity is what we all come back to. There are a lot of conservative, faith-filled people living in this district. And when we talk about the human dignity and the fact that we've dehumanized entire populations or communities so that, you know, in this case, ICE can enact violent and egregious actions against them. There's that element. And then also like the rule of law, right? We are not following the Constitution. We are not, you know, showing warrants. We are not identifying ourselves. All of those things, like if we truly are backing the blue, if we are truly going to be following the rule of law and believe that those exist for a reason and that accountability exists from top to bottom, then we need to call to attention the fact that what is going on with ICE, what has been going on with ICE is not constitutionally sound. It is not, you know, following that law. And that those are the conversations that I'm trying to have with people out here. They've been politicized and things have been twisted, of course. But at the end of the day, it's human dignity. 85% of the people that they've rounded up in a lot of these areas are not criminals. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. So we're trying to have those conversations as well.
Now, those things all make perfect sense, and they should be logical and easy to argue. You mentioned the 19th district, very blue. How do you then...
Very red.
So how do you change the minds of these people who have been voting and resting on their laurels, as you said before? Mm-hmm. How do you get that message across to try to sway them? Because, again, what you laid out for the ICE thing seems pretty nonpartisan to me.
I mean, and I think like most at the end of the day, we're all, you know, we're being manipulated by the people at the top and we're being manipulated by certain media outlets. And I think for me, it's showing up early and often and having respectful conversations. Like I sit down with, you know, conservative folks all the time and say, tell me why you feel this way. And then we kind of have to go back and forth about like, show me where that exists, you know, and these are long drawn out conversations, but we have to get back to talking to our neighbors in a way that is rooted in curiosity and respect. So that we can begin to kind of unravel the twisted nature of politics today. Because at the end of the day, we all like, you know, we care about our communities, our families, our country, right? And we got to get back to understanding that there are nefarious people that are trying to do a lot of things behind the scenes that are really going to adversely impact our communities. And so that's what we're going to keep doing.
Emily, we have just a couple of seconds left. Speaking of taking care of community, can you tell us how to get in contact with that GoFundMe one more time, how people can donate to that if they want to help those TSA workers?
Sure. It's probably easiest just to go to Emily Cephos for Wisconsin. It's just all over my social media. So that'll be the easiest one.
All right.
Yeah.
Perfect. And Cephos is T-S-E-F-F-O-S. So make sure you spell it correctly. Emily, thank you for being here. Good luck with the campaign, and we appreciate your time. Have a great weekend.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. When we come back, it's Dairyland Diaries. Yes, we're going to end the week with some happy news. Why not? It is 8:49. And we got another 50 seconds, don't we? Why do I...
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's 8:52 right now. Thank you so much for having us on this morning. It is time for Dairyland Diaries, and this is such a fun part of our week because we get to zoom out of the politics, just take it, throw it all away for just a few minutes, and talk about the good stuff that makes Wisconsin, Wisconsin, right?
Yes, there are a lot of good stories around the state. Sometimes they get short shrift because we're talking about the other things. But Dairyland Diaries is our chance to just move about. And have you noticed, Jamie, we're getting a lot of intros for these segments.
I love them. I know.
We've got to commit to the bit.
I love it.
All right. I saw this story, and I'm envious because it's about an 80-year-old man who has completed his 1,000th hot yoga class. Not just any 80-year-old man, former Wisconsin Governor Jim Doyle. He's the oldest guy at Inner Fire Yoga for hot yoga, and he just completed his 1,000th class. Staff member marked the occasion by getting him to do a handstand on TikTok. Now, those are all words that shouldn't go with 80-year-old man, but they did.
Or Jim
and they
Doyle.
Do, or yeah, I don't know Jim Doyle. I know he was the 44th governor of Wisconsin. He was a Democrat. He was governor from 2003 to 2011. He was a longtime runner. He still runs. He plays basketball and golf. Slow down, Jim.
Making the rest of us look bad.
Yeah, really. How about it? He said he started doing hot yoga about 10 years ago at the urging of a friend. We were very good friends, and he had been doing it for a number of years despite having serious cancer, Doyle said. He'd still go through hot yoga, so he'd been after me to do it up until about age 60. Doyle ran long distances, and he played basketball 4 to 5 times a week.
Wow.
So took him a few months to get into this, but it goes to show you that you can pretty much, you're never too old. I guess that sounds cliche to start, but 80, this guy's done 1,000 hot yoga classes. He said at the beginning he could only do part of the class. He'd have to walk out and catch his breath because it's, I guess,
it's
a
bazillion
degrees in there. Yeah, it's no joke at all. And he's always done hot yoga. Now he does a 75-minute class. When he started, he could barely make it 20 minutes or a half hour. So good for him.
Good for former Governor Jim Doyle.
I feel bad if I can't walk down the stairs.
Right?
I'm out in the summer, and I'm like, oh, it's so hot.
The only thing I'm running for is if I see my candy bar getting ready to hit the ground or something. But I digress. In other news from around the state in Dairyland Diaries, I love this. U.S. News listed Wisconsin Dells at number 8 on its best vacations list this year.
Wow.
That's actually up a spot from last year on the 18 destination list. So not a lot of competition on this either. I like that. The Dells area is the only Wisconsin location on this list that includes 4 California locations and 2 each in Florida, Hawaii, and the Carolinas. So some steep competition.
Those are some vacation destinations right there.
They really, really are. Now, the Wisconsin Dells Visitor and Convention Bureau President and CEO Jill Dial says that they're excited to move up a notch in this very competitive list and that the town continuously strives to provide new and exciting experiences for visitors as well as preserve the area's natural beauty. And she says this U.S. News ranking is just validation of all of those efforts. Now, the publication ranks its 18 destinations based on lodging, attractions, scenery, public opinion, and accessibility to major cities and airports, among numerous other factors. U.S. News evaluates more than 1,500 destinations. Now, in their report, the U.S. News senior travel editor said, Wisconsin Dells is a fantastic year-round family destination with indoor and outdoor water parks, museums, and natural attractions that can easily fill a kid-approved itinerary. And, of course, you have all the resorts that are filled with some amenities and things like that as well. Water park is where it's at.
I am ashamed to say I have never been to the Dells. I've stopped for gas in the Dells. I've driven past the Dells hundreds, literally hundreds of times.
I lived 5 minutes from the Dells. That's where we lived. We were 5 minutes from the Dells, and I can honestly say there was from about Memorial Day to well past Labor Day, into about October, you did not go to the Dells because you could not move in the Dells.
And finally, Green Bay is known for more than Lambeau Field, Parker. I don't know if you believe that, but Green Bay is soon going to be home to a Music Hall of Fame celebrating bands and artists from northeastern Wisconsin who went on to national fame. Strike Accord is a local nonprofit. They were founded in 2014. They've leased space in the former Keller Elementary School to open a dedicated museum honoring the area's music history and contributions. It's scheduled to open May 15th. It's a big step for the idea that has been a couple years in the works. Finally has a home. The former school was purchased by Evergreen Theater in 2025, but the community theater organization is also leasing rooms to fellow nonprofit groups. Music Hall of Fame will occupy a first floor room that is 42 by 30, in case you're measuring this out in your head and thinking, how big will it be? Well, there you go. It'll be open to visitors during set hours a number of different days a week. So it is very nice. So that's it. There's your Dairyland Diaries. We like to end the week with some uplifting stories because, listen, when we're back here Monday at 6, you know it's going to be who knows what will be.
Not to mention the fact
then.
That we have 2 full days that we have to try to cram in, because you know that this administration does not let any of us sleep. And even though they take a lot of breaks, there's still stuff that happens because of their actions. And then we've got to try to fit it all in. It's a lot.
Well, the good news is any congressional news will happen today because they're taking 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
And I wonder if Delta is going to put the diplomatic extras back in.
Or I
wouldn't. They're going to make them wait till all the I wouldn't either. Make them stand in line like everybody else.
I would make them stand in line even after this so they never forget what this was like. Really,
right.
Honestly.
No more. You don't
no
get
more
any more.
Perks
You've made
for
us
you.
Suffer twice this year. Twice in a year they've made people suffer. So now you get to be just like everybody you represent.
That's right.
And maybe, just maybe, being exposed to real people will make you keep real people in mind when you're sitting there in your ivory tower making these decisions. So we are going to jump around, and by jump around, I mean jump out of here because it's time to go. Thank you for listening. Thanks for being part of the show. Have a wonderful weekend. Jamie, I'll give you the last words.
We are so glad that you joined us this week. Thank you so much. It is 8:59 right now. This has been another great week of Daybreak right here on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.